Welcome to the Pastor Duke Podcast. I'm so glad to be able to share the Word of God with you today. Thank you, podcast family, for tuning me in. I'm a little bit weak today. I've been fighting kidney stones. It seems to be my lot in life, but the Lord is with me. I've had to stent, and now I'm just kind of going through all that kind of stuff. But quietly in my room, I'm sitting back with an open Bible and a heart full of the joy of the Lord, to be forgiven, to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to have my body be the temple of the Holy Spirit, to know that Jesus is coming back to deliver us from this present evil world. But today I want to focus on 2 Thessalonians 2, zoom in on the chapter that is given completely to the rise of the Antichrist, many details about the infamous Antichrist. He's called the man of sin in verse 3. We have what Daniel called the abomination of desolation in verse 4, where he, Antichrist, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In verses 4 through 8, we have the sequence of events that triggers the ascension to power for the Antichrist. Verse 7 speaks of the restrainer, the one who holds him back, whom I believe is the Holy Spirit, who abides in those of us who believe. The Holy Spirit dwells us. We are his temple. When Christ returns to take his bride to his Father's house, the rapture of the church, the Bible says, then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the brightness of his coming, which I believe is 7 years after the rapture of the church. He can't come until we go. That's good news. The whole rest of the chapter continues unfolding the sinister deception, lies, and horrific assault he will pour upon the Christ-rejecting human race left behind at the rapture of the church. But my focus today is on one very sad and yet major sign early in the chapter that shows the sad state of the church at the time of the second advent of Jesus Christ, or maybe I should say the professing church, just before our Lord returns. The words God uses here warns the true church to expect a falling away first. That man of sin cannot be revealed until there's a falling away first before that man of sin is revealed. This English word falling away is from the Greek word apostasia. Many who profess Christ at one time will turn away, is exactly what the text is saying. Remember, our Lord said, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. We're used to fake news these days. Jesus said, get ready for fake Christians in that day. Other spiritual terms would be separating the sheep from the goats. Our Lord used that illustration. I would add here my favorite personal quote, don't let people mess you up about God. Let God straighten you out about people. Eyes always off people. They most of the time will let you down. Hold up your shield of faith whereby you are able to quench all of the fiery darts of the devil. I would say if we ever kept our eyes on Jesus and Jesus alone and not man, it would be these days. There shall come, I believe there's a tear falling down our Lord's face when he writes that, there will be a falling away just prior to. We'll focus our attention today on that falling away and why, where, and how. You know, there are many facets to this dark gem of prophecy. There's a darkness here, there's a sadness here, but there's many facets to it. You don't have to look far to see sad state of many high-profile Christian leaders who have turned out not to be practicing what they preach behind the scenes. The great apologist Ravi Zechariah, whom I loved, dies in utter shame, even hid his sin until the time of the end, and he was living a debauchery life of immorality and series of massage parlors. And the sad thing, those in his network, somebody had to know about it, but they chose to circle the wagons and cover it up. And that's in my circle. That's a circle of conservative, biblical, fundamental evangelicalism. Just don't expect everybody to live up to what they say. don't blame Jesus for the foolish things people who don't listen to Jesus do. Men I have respected, Bill Hybels, a pastor in Chicago, adultery. Bill Gothard, went to his conferences for years and years, a total pervert, pedophile. Jerry Falwell Jr., debauchery, moral failure. Max Licato, I've read, I think, all of his books, adultery. Ed Young Jr., financial scandals. In the charismatic circles, the financial shame of Jim and Tammy Faye Baker 20, 30 years ago, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Cephalo Dollar, Joel Olstein with his $13.2 million mansion on one side of Houston, his $2.3 million mansion on the other side of Houston. And how in the hurricane there, while all the other churches opened up to rescue and be a survival station for the victims, he, Olstein, locked down their doors. We can't be bothered by the needs of hurting people. We are above all of that. I would call him a cute yet pathetic, well-dressed wimp of a man and shame to the cause of Christ. And I do not apologize for that. Let him reap what he has sown. Religious hucksters they are, preying on the gullibility of the biblically illiterate. Send us money so God can send you money. Really? The millionaire should be the one sending out the money to the hurting widows, not the opposite. I believe all of that will burn one day, and that day is looming closer and closer. I want to take this sad prophecy to a deeper biblical exposure to help sincere Jesus people to take heart in the midst of all the, crap that's interfaces these days, to help us to discern more clearly. You know, the Christian celebrities of recent days is kind of a biblical misnomer if you think about it. Christ said, "Let he that be great among you be a servant." Jesus said, "I came not to be served, but to serve." It was the lost and arrogant religious leaders of his day doing the same thing that we see today, loving to have the upper seats in the public events, loving the public oratory prayers and the fine phylacteries and the expensive vestments that they wore proudly in public to raise themselves up above the commoners. It made Jesus sick. They used various forms of Judaism to make themselves look good. They were religious hucksters. This is not a new thing. Remember what Jesus called them to their face? Hypocrites. He called them by name. "You are of your father, the devil." Whited sepulchers, blind, leading the blind. You know, much of today's professing Christianity would censor Jesus for being mean-spirited. They would hate Jesus for calling these spoiled little religious brats, calling a spade a spade, but Jesus did it. The thing that angers God most is hypocrisy, using biblical truth, using the gospel to exalt self. That is the spirit of Antichrist, which is already here. There are two sides to this counterfeit Christian celebrity movement. Number one, there's this the guy that wants to be the hero, men like Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them. You know, the fallen nature of man loves the limelight. "Put my name on the marquee. Put my face up on the billboard for all the town to see my face." Another pastor said, "I'll name my Bible college after myself, Hiles Anderson College." I met Mr. Anderson many years after the college was founded, and he wasn't too happy with how all that unfolded. Men love to lord over other men. Just going back for a second, it just pops into my mind, naming your college after yourself. Can you imagine the Duke Hurgit University of Awesomeness, the Duke Hurgit School of Great Christianity? How foolish. And yet that stuff flies even in evangelical circles. Makes me sick. And if you know me well, I'm a positive guy. I'm not having fun sharing all this, but I think we need to be warned. We need to be biblically literate, not to be taken off guard by what we see unfolding in our day. Men love to lord over other men, but Jesus said, "It shall not be so among my people." Yes, God put authority in the family, in the church, in government structures, yet all authority was to be wielded by humility, a servitude, servant leadership. You know, once upon a time, politicians were called public servants. They sacrificed much of their own wealth to have the privilege to lead our nation into good decisions. But the past few decades seem to have produced a super wealthy political bureaucratic class. And shame on all the greed in government. Shame on all the hidden kickbacks and phony book deals where politicians are cashing in on all kinds of money. Follow the money. Love of money is the root of all evil. It's all the spirit of Antichrist. Remember, John said the spirit of Antichrist is already here, and it has been for a long time, will continue to be until ultimately the actual Antichrist with his agenda, his political power will be in place. But in the meantime, our Lord told us to watch out for this, and it is all here. But it hurts most when it shows up in the church, wouldn't you think? We always want to kind of make the church to be a wonderful place, which it truly is and should be. But it's also a target for the enemy. Satan hates the church. He persecutes the church. He maligns the church. He divides the church. And so we should not be at all surprised when we see failures within the confines of the church. But the other side of that sad coin is the gullible church people themselves who love to make heroes out of their leaders. Remember the stern rebuke of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians church, which was the most carnal and ridden with sin of all the epistled churches? Is that a word? Epistled churches? Churches to whom the Holy Spirit through Paul wrote letters to: Rome, Corinth, Galatia, etc. The epistle churches. I think I just made up a new term. At Corinth, they were bragging, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos. He's a better preacher than Paul." And I think Paul would say, "Come on, man, that's all sick." Paul would not allow others to exalt him. He said, "We are but servants through whom ye believe." The great men shun the spotlight. The carnal man loves the recognition. The carnal man wants to put others on a pedestal where Satan takes aim to bring them down. There will be no superstars in heaven except for the worthy one, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Holy is his name. He will share his glory with no one there and no one now. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It further saddens me to see how weak and carnal professing Christians have been willing to circle the wagons and protect the vilest of fallen leaders. We saw it first in the 80s when Catholicism insulted the purity of Jesus by covering up the vast pedophile network within the church. They were reassigning guilty priests to other precincts where they could start out their methods of debauchery and pedophilia all over again. And the Vatican and the Catholic Church circled the wagons around the guilty and snuffed the innocent. Makes God sick. And it even makes most Catholic people sick. I'm in a Catholic area, and so many Catholic people just turned away from that. And praise God, many of them turned to Jesus all the way, not the Catholic Jesus, the Bible Jesus. Salvation by grace is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And today they're just wallowing in the joy of the Lord at the feet of Jesus. But Catholicism really took a hit in America when they chose to circle the wagons around the guilty pedophiles. What do we call that? Falling away first. I saw the same thing happen in the conservative evangelical circles when Jack Hiles was exposed for years of adultery. They circled the wagons and condemned those who exposed him, twisting scripture, saying in their evil cover-up, "Don't lift your hand against God's anointed." Like if God has called you, you're allowed to live outside of the boundaries. Come on, man, that's sick. They sent out little badges all over the country to churches who were kind of in the network of conservative churches. Little badges that said, "I'm 100% Hiles." When I opened up that box with several hundred of those badges, they wanted the people in the churches around America to wear these badges in church, joining them and circling their wagons around an adulterer pastor who had fallen. That is sick. So we point out when the Catholics are wrong, I point out when the Baptists are wrong, and it happens, and it's insult to the holiness of God. But Jesus said, don't be surprised if you would find in the last days that this falling away will really boil over when we have celebrity seeking ministers. We have celebrity making congregations. They want to make superstars out of Christian leaders. It shall not be so, Jesus said, among my people. We also have what I like to call the dancers. That's my terminology. Look to Joel Osteen. Everybody has heard of Joel Osteen, I think. Again, he's the poster child. Have you seen him dance around the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, that issue with Larry King? Larry King, of course, was trying to set Osteen up on the exclusivity of Christ issue, as media always does to try to bring down God's true servants. So you think only Christians can go to heaven, said King to Osteen, instead of Osteen simply quoting the biblical answer, the words of Jesus himself, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, no man come to the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is such a simple answer. But Osteen cleverly dances around the issue. Oh, quote, oh, I don't judge anyone but me. I don't know what's in the hearts of Muslims, Jews, or Hindus. I just know Jesus worked for me. I have no right to judge other people. It's not my place to judge anyone. Larry King kept pressing the issue because he had done lots of interviews with Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, Jerry Falwell, who never once compromised the exclusivity of Jesus, who always quoted the word of God, who always gave the universal call to sinners. Whosoever, yes, Jesus is the only way, but he who is the only way says, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. He who is exclusively the Savior of the world says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But today people dance around that. And Joel Osteen is the hero for a lot of people who profess to be Christians when he denies Christ in public before millions of people. There's a clear biblical answer to the dancers who shun even the topics of homosexuality, sodomy, divorce, and now COVID and the vaccines. They want to stay away from it. Remember what Jesus said in explaining the parable of the sower and the seed? These are the words of Jesus. But he that received seed into the stony places, the same is he who heareth the word, and at once with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not a root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. There's your answer. Fake preachers use the word of God to their advantage. And when the word is going to cost them popularity or a larger, ignorant, biblically illiterate audience, they abandon the hard truths of the scriptures to gain favor with men. And as they do, they lose any favor with God. Their dances around the hard topics are the exact opposite of the words of John the Baptist when he said in John 3:30, I must decrease, he must increase. It's the exact opposite. They refuse to be willing to suffer reproach for the name of Christ. They tickle the ears of Christ rejectors and gain the praise and prosperity of the lost. They make the people feel good. All the while, they are on the path to destruction. Paul wrote in Galatians 1:10, for if I yet seek to please men, I should no longer be a servant of Christ. Jesus told us that there would be a false teachers whose deceptions would only intensify as the second coming approaches. Prosperity gospel peddlers have honed their skills to tickling ears. They cleverly sift out any negativity. They avoid any mention of repentance, judgments, holiness. Their syrupy messages would make you think there is no place called hell, no mention of the words of Jesus here, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Those are the sweet words of Jesus, my friends. Revelation closes out with fierce warning. Revelation 22:18-19. Don't you dare add anything to God's word. Don't you dare take anything away. And I think in its immediate context, I saw about literally changing the written scripture, but I think a clear secondary application. We are to preach the gospel, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And that is exactly what the false prophets do. They put in enough twisted scripture to suck in the biblically illiterate. Paul wrote to Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. And that season is here. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell us what we want to hear. Tell us what makes us feel good. We'll listen. We'll send you money. We'll make you an awesome religious leader. Just make us feel good. Don't bring any of that negativity, any of the exclusivity, none of that holiness, none of that repentance, none of that judgment. We don't like that part of the Bible. Well, it's in our face today. That day is here. Sad thing is, the blinded will often take a bullet to defend their ear-tickling religious heroes. They'll circle the wagons too. Jesus called all of this the blind leading the blind. You know, we're living in that great falling away. Drive across the country, almost anywhere in Europe, America, North America, Canada, you'll see the largest, most beautiful buildings in towns are now abandoned churches. The tithes and offerings of dedicated believers in generations past failed to pass the torch of the gospel fire unto the next generation. Theological liberalism visited the Protestant churches in the 1910s to the 1940s and continues to rule most of them today. And Protestant founders, men like Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, Savonarola, men who had a fire burning in their heart, they would not be welcome. John and Charles Wesley would not be welcome in Methodist and Wesleyan churches today, mostly. The Wesleyans have stayed pretty faithful. I got to give them some credit. But most Methodist churches, not all, but most of them have capitulated to that falling away. And it would break the heart of the founders of the Methodist movement, who were awesome men of God. This new pope, Pastor Duke, are you mad? I'm mad at the devil. And I listened to what Jesus said to warn people that I love not to be fooled. So this is a little bit outside of my comfort zone, but give me some space, okay? You know my heart. This new Pope Francis recently said, quote, all of the historic cardinal doctrines of the church need to be revisited. I'd say a whole bunch of them do, but maybe not all of them, especially things like on sodomy and homosexuality. And so anyway, everything is on the table, he says. He knows this must be done in order to lay the foundation for the new United World Church, which is forming under his leadership even as we speak. Two popes, his predecessor, Pope Paul VI, said in his final book, quote, he feared the apostasy in the school of cardinals was so deep that his successor would be the false prophet of Revelation chapter 13. Interesting, isn't it? I would say that he was right, and it is happening before our very eyes. Closer to home in the evangelical circles, I guess I'll just go ahead and beat up everybody today, but if the shoe fits, wear it. In evangelical circles, we see the falling away as well. Wave after wave of false teachers have continued throughout the two millenniums of Christ's church, and he said it'll only get worse as the time of his second advent draws near. I served as a trustee at Boston Baptist College for about 25 years and felt the need to stay in touch with modern Christian academia and trends and issues that are facing the church now. I read all of the Vogue ministry trending books. I stayed aware as much as I could. I read The New Kind of Christian by McLaren, and I was kind of watching, listening, reading, tongue-in-cheek. I could sense the evil suck in as he magnified anything negative he could find in recent trends of evangelical circles. True, there have been some legalism issues that I've had to wade through myself, and many of you have. Worship, music wars, which are so sad as music has historically changed within the Church of Jesus Christ. And I think that's a good thing. But others tried to hold on to music of the past, and that's their priority. But it's just shame when people fuss over it. And guilty. We stand guilty of those things. That he exposed the hero worship in churches, which I'm sort of agreeing with him there. It ought not be so, according to the words of Jesus. So he used all of that as a pendulum to swing on into questioning doctrine, cardinal doctrines of the historic biblical faith. He soon led a sad number into complete apostasy. The new kind of Christian was an old kind of heretic, turns out. Same thing with Rob Bell. If you Listen to him. Hopefully you don't even know who I'm talking about. That's a wonderful thing. He wrote a book called Velvet Elvis, the first that he wrote that I read, using ancient customs and biblical languages, Hebrew and Greek, of course, to change doctrines to fit cultural trends, claiming that is exactly how it was done in the earlier days. It was interpreted into their culture, and we should do the same. And so what we've always believed about women's roles in the church no longer count. What we've always believed about hell, that no longer counts. Hell wasn't really a place. It was just the garbage heap outside of town in the Valley of Hinnom. And you take people who are not biblically literate and really don't know biblical geography and customs, man, makes it so interesting. And he takes away the negatives and he draws people unto himself, and he wound up in total apostasy again. So Satan is going to attack the church of Jesus. Think it not strange concerning all of these things. Our Lord told us to watch out for them. And the fact that they're here, though, breaks our heart. It only confirms that Jesus knew what he was talking about. I think I pronounced that word talking like a New Yorker. You know, I didn't grow up here, but I learned how to talk since I got here. You know what I'm saying? I love New York. There's other things about it I don't love so much. I feel like I'm back in the USSR here, along with the Beatles, as the lockdown is pretty hard still here in New York compared to other places in the world. But meanwhile, back to the podcast. He promoted interpreting scripture through culture instead of culture through the scripture. Satan is clever. He comes from many different angles. He has succeeded in turning many away from the faith. Don't be surprised that many will turn away from the faith. They will apostatize. I see very close to even my movement, the rewriting of women's roles in the church, calling pastors' wives pastor as well. No, God called me to be Pastor Duke, not Joellen, to be Pastor Joellen. She doesn't pastor. She's not called to preach. She doesn't fit the qualifications of a pastor. She's not the husband of one wife. I see people kind of, even in my circles, these are people I love. I'm just saying that when people take a liberty to twist the scriptures to fit it to, you know, exalt women. I tell people, I don't believe in equal rights for women. I believe in superior rights for women. My wife is every bit my equal, but she has a different role. We're going to talk about that more in an upcoming podcast. Women's roles in the church, women's roles in the home, and the blending of the spirit of Christ into, you know, where there is equality, but clearly defining the roles. And so I'm seeing things happen right up in, even in my circles. It makes me a little bit nervous. People very cleverly saying, well, that's what the scriptures say, but that's not what the scriptures mean. I'm just not comfortable with that. I just want the scriptures to say what the scriptures say, and I will choose to obey God and not try to dance around anything that he said. You know, I want to switch from the negative to the positive now, go out with a little bit of a flurry. The scriptures say the church is supposed to be, and it still is, the pillar and ground of truth. I've hit the negative side, the Catholics, the Protestants, the evangelicals, the falling away, people who profess faith in Christ who don't really do what Christ said. So on the positive side, I've been blessed the past 12 years to travel across America, and I'm able to see and stay in the homes of godly men and women who've sacrificed everything to advance the gospel of Christ, planting churches in dark cities, living by faith, trusting God for their very next meal, not knowing if they're going to be able to get financial health coverage for their children, just trusting God for everything. It sounds so good when you hear people speak about it, but when you're in those shoes and you honestly don't know how you're going to pay the bills, and you go to your secret place, your quiet place, and your Heavenly Father who seeth in secret said, I'll reward you openly. I've lived through that back 43 years ago when we launched our church, and I'm in little churches, baby churches, growing churches all across the country where these young men and women are giving everything to Jesus, and they're doing it humbly, and they'll never have their name in lights. They'll never be Christian celebrities, nor would they even want to be, and they're doing the job. They're standing for Jesus. They're the examples of benevolence to their community. They are giving the backpacks to the poor kids in school each school year. They're bringing food to the food pantries. They are opening their church buildings for blood drives. They're using their facilities, to their gyms, to allow inner city kids to come in and play basketball and give them the gospel. They do that. And so I'm seeing people stand on the word of God, paying the price, compromising nothing, living for Jesus, loving people unconditionally, bringing inner city kids to the Lord who don't even know who their daddy is, seeing people coming from the homosexual, gay and lesbian community who are broken, who are hurting, who come to faith in Christ, repent of their sin, turn to Jesus, marry someone of the opposite sex, have children, establish a home, live godly, have the joy of parenting, the joy of grandparenting. There's nothing better than how God set it up. And so I'm out there in my face, in my world, of these people that are really the real deal, doing it right with the right spirit, enduring to the end. And the devil wants you and I to focus on the fallen, the hypocrites, the hucksters, the glory hounds. All that will soon burn. So I just want to be aware of it. I don't want to get down because other people are stupid. Other people choose not to listen to Jesus. And so I have a desire not to be on a pedestal. I've never had a lot of people try to put me up there, but I just want to be close to Jesus. I just want to be full of love. I think you do too. I think that's why you tuned us in today. So, think it not strange what we're seeing happen in these various circles. Well, thanks for tuning me in. Hope I'm a blessing. Please share this with friends. Hit subscribe. I'm up to 12,600 downloads. And they say for every download, there's 4 listeners. So, man, I'm up around 50,000 listens, and that's way more people than I would have spoken to if it hadn't been for COVID. So the devil's kind of whooped me and kind of put me down a little bit, but I'm fighting back. I'm reading through the Bible every 30 days. I'm podcasting my little brains out just because I get a kidney stone attacks and a stent in my left ureter. I'm not going to let that stop me. I love Jesus and I love you. So have a great day.